Colossians. Book of Colossians. And we're going to have something every weekend in June. So June is packed full of good things. And also, this is a Bible. It doesn't have anybody's name in it. It's a Thomas Nelson giant print edition New King James Bible. So if this belongs to anybody, you can claim it. If not, I have my eyes on it. No, just kidding. But that's someone's Bible. I don't know whose it is, but it's a really nice Bible. I'll have to repent for coveting. Just kidding. Colossians chapter 2. We've been talking about, we call him Lord, and what that really means. When you say Jesus is Lord, you know, there's going to come a point in time when everybody, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. But when we call him Lord, you know, we're saying, Jesus, you're the master. You are the supreme ruler of my life. When you call him Lord, you are relinquishing control. All right? Everybody say, giving up control. And you allow him to lead and guide you into major decisions in your life. And the Lord just led me to the book of Colossians. And I've been reading, it's taken me a couple weeks just to get out of chapter 2. But in Colossians chapter 2, he says in verse 2, and he's talking about the church. Paul is sharing his heart. He said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches. Everybody say all riches. Of the full assurance. Everybody say full assurance. Of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, this is what he says about Christ, and he's talking about Christ our Lord, all right? When you say, take ownership of him being your Lord, all right? Notice that in Christ, in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures. Everybody say, all the treasures. So these words, I find these words really exciting. All riches, full assurance, and all the treasures. I love those words. Of course, anybody that speaks a lot about inheritance will love those words. And it says, all in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that awesome how God hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ, our Lord? And if Christ is our Lord, then we have access to all the wisdom, all the treasures, the full assurance, and the richness of God's wisdom, which is in Christ, because Christ is in us, and when he is our Lord, we have access to those very same things. So, God, he wants your heart to be comforted, cheered, and encouraged. Say, my heart is comforted. Say, I'm cheerful. Say, I'm encouraged. In other words, this is how we need to carry ourselves. Comfort is to have peace, is to be at rest, is to be secure. You know, when you're in a safe place, you're in a secure place, right? This is how we need to live. This is how we need to walk. And to be cheerful, you know? God loves cheerfulness. I think it was Mark Hankins. He shared that he was in this guy's office, and this guy had a sign that said, you've got 10 seconds to get excited or get out of my office. Amen? And so God wants us, say me. He wants us to have all riches, abounding wealth, and blessings of understanding. He wants us to understand his secrets, to possess his riches. You know, God is excited about sharing his riches with us. And he put everything in Christ. He is the head. We're going to see that here in just a minute. All right? And notice verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you or deceive you with enticing words or persuasive words. Sometimes persuasive words can be deceptive words. You know, there are some people that can use some good words and to try to persuade you, but they're persuading you in the wrong thing. And the only way that we can tell the difference between the persuasive words that are good for us is through the Holy Spirit. Because listen, you can't fool the Holy Spirit. He knows the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He wrote the truth. He inspired the truth. He's all about the truth. And he knows when there's deception coming. So that's another benefit of Jesus being Lord, is we have the same Spirit. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead be in you, what's going to happen? He's going to quicken your mortal body. In other words, he is going to make you in tune with what God wants so that you can have what God wants you to have, so that you can do what God wants you to do. See, it is through the Holy Spirit that we become in union. You know, there's one thing to good, there's one place to be, let me put it this way. There's one good union to be involved with. That is to be in union with God. Amen? To be able to do what he wants you to do, to be able to think like he thinks. Okay? So, Satan will put people in your path with persuasive words so that you don't get into the riches that God wants you to have. Because Satan is behind every deception. And he will try to put slick salesmen that will try to sell you something that's not good for you and will ultimately get you into bondage. Okay? All right, let's go to verse 6. Well, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Did you know that faith has an order to it? Let everything be done decently and what? In order. You know, God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. There isn't seven seasons. And usually, there's a normal transition from one season to the next. Okay? There's order. There is an order and a steadfastness to faith. Okay? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Is that order? Here a little, there a little. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corner of the ear. Is that order? Everybody say order is good. Okay? Because God is a God of order. So, we learn something about faith right here in verse 5. Faith rests on a firm, solid front. Okay? For example, if we had a group of linemen right here, all right? A couple of big, strong guys, and they had to guard this area so that the enemy can't get past them, okay? Faith acts as a firm, solid front that the enemy can't get past. Amen? Our faith has got some big, strong blockers. And faith isn't going to let the enemy get to the quarterback. Okay? Okay? So faith, then, is leaning its entire personality and all that you are on Christ. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but what? But Christ who lives within me. So now the life that we need to live, when Jesus is our Lord, that is a bold statement. That is a declaration that you are entered into a covenant with God. All right? That means that when people mess with you, they're messing with God because you're in covenant relationship. So as Jesus is our Lord, it ought to produce a boldness, a confidence, a strength, a courage, a steadfastness, a firmness to it. It all has to do with Jesus being Lord. Okay? Because we're getting somewhere, all right? I'm just doing a little bit of digging right now. So faith is absolute trust and confidence in Christ's power, wisdom, goodness, and his principles. Everybody say absolute trust. When a person is in faith, that means that their situation cannot go any other way other than what God said. Abraham got to the point because he had a relationship with God. And when we say Jesus is Lord, we enter into not just a superficial relationship with God. Hi, bye, how you doing, fine, okay, all right. No. When you say Jesus is Lord, you enter into the most close, the most intimate relationship that you can enter into. Amen? And when Jesus is Lord, he wants to affect every area of your life. If you're married, he wants to affect your marriage. He wants to impact your marriage. If you're single, he wants to impact your life. If you've got kids, he wants to impact you as a parent. Amen? And when we say that Jesus is Lord, we're declaring that we have the best that God has to offer, which is in Christ, because he hid all the treasures in Christ. Okay? Now, here are some other ways that Satan tries to keep you from experiencing the fullness of Jesus being your Lord. Okay? Look at verse 8. We already read that some people will try to deceive you with enticing words or persuasive words in verse 4, right? But now in verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you. How many likes to eat spoiled food? Does spoiled food taste good? Does spoiled food smell good? That word spoil means to corrupt, to cause to decay, and to perish. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. What's he trying to spoil you from? From walking in the benefits of Jesus being your Lord. He's trying to get you to settle for something less other than what the Lord wants you to have. How many know that the Lord wants the best for you? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Okay? That is God's nature. That is God's desire. God is a too much God. He's more than enough. He's all sufficient. He's almighty. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. Okay? So he always wants to do, you know, for example, Psalm 23, where the psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Doesn't God know how much will fit in the cup? But why does he cause it to run over? All right? Because that's the type of God we serve. Okay? Do you remember the story of Abraham and Lot? What happened between their herdsmen? there were too many sheep for the ground that they had, and it's caused strife. Well, doesn't God know how much ground will handle the sheep? Right? But why did he keep giving Abraham and Lot too much? Because that's the type of God he is. Say that with me. Say, that's the type of God my God is. He wants to be that to me. He wants me to have more than enough. Do you know what more than enough is? You have enough for you and left over for others. But Satan wants to try to stop that from happening in your life. And oftentimes he does, because we allow him to. Verse 8, how do they spoil you? Through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Everybody say, not after Christ. Now, the Amplified brings it out a little bit more, but you could get this idea from this. Here are things that come against you growing in a relationship with your Lord, okay? Deceptive or empty words, or you could say nonsense words. What's a nonsense word? There's no sense in what you said. There's nonsense. Enticing words. You know who's the greatest enticer in the Bible besides Satan? Delilah. All she wanted was Samson's secret. And there's a lot of things that she did to get his secret. Satan's after your secret. Why do you think God hid his secret in Christ? He hid his secret in Christ because Christ defeated Satan. He made a show of him openly. That means because Christ has the secrets of God, you can't touch this. Okay? All right. Okay, so here are some things that Satan will use to try to deceive you or cause you to fall short in your relationship with the Lord. Deceptive or empty words, words of nonsense, enticing words, philosophy, intellectualism. Where does that reside? You ever know someone to have too big of a head than what they should? Right? Another thing, tradition of men, or men's ideas. Not God's ideas, men's ideas. Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God non-effective. Charles Capps called traditions of men sacred cows. And he would go and preach, and he would have a sacred cow tipping party. He would be pushing over sacred cows, pointing out that traditions aren't going to... And then worldliness. He said the rudiments of the world, that's worldliness, worldly principles, or things that are contrary or against Christ. If we allow those things to come into our heart, it can spoil us from what the Lord wants to do in us and with us and for us. All right? Can you see that? But we're not going to let that happen. You're smarter than the devil. Say this. Say, I'm smarter than the devil. How do I know that? Because you have the mind of Christ. Notice he said, beware, lest any man spoil. Okay, now let's go down to verse 9. For in him, in who? In the Lord, in the Master, the Savior, the King of Kings, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Woo! I like that. You are in him. Acts 17:28 says, in him we what? Live and move and have our being. When we're living in the Lord, when we're moving in the Lord, in other words, we don't go anywhere without his direction. Moses brought that out. When the glory would come down in the tabernacle, when would they move the camp? Whenever the glory lifted and moved. Too many people are following the feeling and not following the glory. I don't want to follow feelings. I don't want to follow fads. I want to follow the glory. Where the glory goes is where I'm going. And not everybody wants to go. You know, how many people joined Moses in the tabernacle? Joshua. You know, if you don't want to move on in the glory, that's fine. But you'll be left behind. I want to move in the glory. I want to go where God wants me to go. So, verse 10 says, you are complete in Him. That is good news. You're not missing anything. Single people, your spouse isn't going to complete you. You're already complete. The spouse is just going to come alongside and help do what you need to do. But don't feel like you're missing something not being married, all right? I understand that you want to be married, and being married is a good thing. And having a desire to be married, that's a good thing. But you know what? That's not what's going to complete you. You're already complete in Christ. There's nothing missing, nothing broken in Christ. He is the whole package, all right? All right, verse 11. In whom? Who's he talking about, the whom? He's talking about the one that has all the fullness of the Godhead. In him, you lack no good thing. In him, all your needs are met according to his riches and glory. Say that. Say, all my needs are met according to his riches of glory. Notice, he doesn't meet your needs according to you. Aren't you glad for that? He meets your needs according to his standards. Okay? So, verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. So, when we enter into a relationship with the Lord, the truth is a two-edged what? Say, the truth cuts. But you know what? When you come to the Lord, there are some things that need to be cut off. I tell people who are in a relationship, I've known one of my friends was in a relationship for like 10 years. And, you know, he was like codependent. I said, cut the knot. I either tie the knot or cut the cord. Amen? Sometimes you either got to tie the knot or cut the cord. Because, you know, people are like elevators. They'll take you up or down, right? Isn't that true? I mean, you know, you get hooked up with the wrong people, you go down with them. You got to hook up with the right people. Amen? You need some people of the same company where you can come to and share your victories. Share, you know, the early disciples, they were glad to go to their own company and tell them how they suffered for the Lord. Okay. You've been circumcised. In other words, some things have been cut off. Corruption, carnality, and careless living have been cut off. Okay? And you were buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Isn't that awesome? Can you see a pattern here? Everything that happened to the Lord can happen to you. If you're buried with him, you're also going to be risen with him. He was buried, and he is risen, right? So in other words, the life that you now are to live, when I look at you, or when you look at me, you ought to be a reflection of him. The conversations that you have ought to reflect God. How did Jesus talk? Did Jesus ever want to kill the disciples? No, because he's the author of life. He's the resurrection and the life. But yet when we have conversations and we want to kill this one or kill that one, we're getting away from the Lord. We're not letting the Lord dominate our speech and our conversations. See, I want us to think deeper than just saying Jesus is Lord. What's behind it? There is a lifestyle behind it. Saying Jesus is Lord means that you are in union with Him. You're following His plan. You're doing His will. That means, you know, great that you feel the way you do, but guess what? Sometimes you got to put your feelings aside. Isn't that right? Look at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Say, I'm forgiven. So just as you were forgiven, now guess what you need to do to others? Forgive them. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, but I know what he did. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. It's a done deal. You need to take the... Doesn't Jesus say that if you don't forgive someone, you're going to hinder them, God, from forgiving them? Whew, that's a heavy responsibility. Let's go to chapter 3 here, and I'm going to finish up here. Chapter 3, verse 1. If, everybody say if, he's about to give you a condition. If you want the benefit, you got to meet the condition. If you're risen with Christ, raise your hand. Okay. What are you supposed to seek? Those things which are where? Above. Everybody look up. That's where your help comes from. You're not supposed to be looking down. Looking up. If you be risen with Christ, that is to have a relationship with God, because you can't, that's how you get risen with Him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Did you know that as a believer in Christ, you have access to come before the throne of God, throne of grace, boldly? That means with confidence. You can access the throne of grace anytime, anywhere, any place. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace when? When you need it. If you need grace, then go to the throne and get it. It's like going to the if I was to visit my parents in Illinois, I don't have to ask them if I can go to the refrigerator. I can walk in and I can go to the refrigerator. Why? Because I'm their son. I have rights as their son. I'm a Pishka, so I have access to those things. We are not accessing the things of God like we need to because we've allowed Satan to come in, the worldly things, deception, traditions of man. Oh, well, that's not how we used to do it. Yeah, but that's maybe how the Lord wants to do it. You know, if you can't give up your tradition for a principle in God's word, then you're proud. Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. And you know what comes before pride? A fall. I did say that too, didn't I? Okay. I got to wrap this up. So if you're risen with Christ, you're seeking something different. You know, when we were at lunch with Dr. Finn, he said, he said, I don't watch TV. He said, I'd rather be on TV than watch TV. I was like, Whoa, that's a good way to think about that. How many has ever thought about that? Would you rather be on TV than watch TV? Set your affection on things above. That word affection is your mind. Where your mind goes, your body's going to follow. How do you change your mind? There's a process by which it's called renewing the mind. If you want to know how to live a victorious life on earth, you're holding the manual. The number one best-selling manual in all the world, you've got it right here in your hands. If you had no other book, if you had access to nothing else on this earth, this will get you to where you want to go, right here. Set your mind on things above. Notice how many times it says the word above. Not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Aren't you hid in the same place where God puts his treasures? Think about that. God hid his treasures in Christ, and you're supposed to be hid in Christ too. God puts you in his treasure room. After all, he did say at one point that you were his special treasure above all the earth. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. All right? And then it goes on to say, it gives you some practical things to do when Jesus is Lord. It gives you practical, where the rubber meets the road. All right? I just want to, let's change our behavior to match the statement that Jesus is Lord. Let's let our lives prove that statement to be true. Anybody can say it, right? But let's do it and say it. Jesus is Lord. Say that. Say, Jesus is Lord. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Say, I surrender all to him. My will, my way, my plans, and I take on his plans in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, next Wednesday, since we will be here next Wednesday, we're going to have a healing service. I felt led, like all the Wednesdays that we're here, except for the Wednesday that we're not here, but all the Wednesdays in June, we're going to talk about healing. And I believe God's going to heal your mind. He's going to heal your body. He's going to heal relationships. He's going to heal broken hearts. Amen? So I'm dedicating for Wednesday night refreshing, we're going to have Wednesday night healing. Amen? So if you know someone that's sick, be a good time for them to come. All right? So next Wednesday, we're going to talk about healing. I hope you got something out of this tonight. Felt like I was a little bit scattered, but there's so much more there that I could touch on, but just don't have time to. But let's make a decision right now in our hearts. That we're no longer, tonight is the last night you live for yourself. Tonight is the last night where you allow selfish tendencies to arise in you. But tonight is a night of surrender, where you surrender to God, where you are in a relationship with the Lord, and you get to know him. His characteristics, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he wants, what he doesn't want. You know, God is very specific. He'll tell you. Because out of anybody in this universe, he knows exactly what he wants. He knows the end before the beginning ever started. He knows where he wants to get you in life. He knows how many people he wants you to affect for the kingdom. So let's... Are you ready to Are you up for the challenge? Let's take this region for God. So when Jesus is Lord, you're not looking for excuses as to why you can't witness. Oh, did I say? Yeah, I said that too. Instead, you're looking for ways to witness. You're looking for opportunities to share, not reasons why you can't. Because that's not what the Lord would do. He said, I came to seek and save what? The lost. So that's something that we ought to embrace as a Christian. We ought to be seeking and saving the lost. And the only way that they can get saved is if they hear the gospel and if they believe. Amen? Hope you were refreshed tonight. God bless you. Friday night, come and see our youth as they showcase their talents. It's going to be great. They're doing a great job. I'm excited. So God bless you. Have an awesome, fantastic, outstanding, wonderful, excellent night. Don't settle for anything less.